Most major Western religions consider suicide a sin. But in the last several decades, there's been an evolution in how many clergy and faith communities approach the issue. And suicide prevention advocates say religious leaders do have a critical role to play in helping people confront mental illness. This morning, in the latest installment in our series, Suicide, A Crisis in the Shadows, WBUR's Lynn Joliker looks at the intersection of suicide and faith.
We need one another to
In 34 years as pastor of Morningstar Baptist Church in Mattapan,
you cannot handle all the pressures of life alone.
Bishop John Borders has seen it all in terms of life's pressures. Church members or their loved ones lost to murder, people suffering from addiction, poverty, and cancer, grief and trauma from suicide.
And any man or woman that's suffering or going through hardship, you are not alone. Christ is suffering with you as you suffer with him.
Borders views suicide in a way that would put him at odds with some other clergy.
I do not see suicide as a sin. I do not think that the scriptures teach that. Who can really understand what's going on in the mind and heart, spiritually, emotionally, biochemically? None of us really knows.
He thinks the faith movement in general has compounded the suffering of those with depression by preaching that if someone had more faith in God, they wouldn't be suffering or suicidal.
We're doing a disservice to people who are sitting in the congregation and thinking that their world is a mess and they're in pain. And instead of embracing them and walking them through it, telling them to dismiss it by using their faith, and that's just not how it works.
Things became intense, and I started having suicidal thoughts.
Kathleen LaPlante of Hudson became suicidal years after her father killed himself on her 21st birthday. She spiraled into severe depression.
Not wanting to live, not caring about my kids.
LaPlante had left the Catholic Church, but during her depression took a retreat to a local monastery. She met a monk who became her spiritual advisor. Then she converted back to Catholicism. She wrote a book about her father's suicide and her personal struggle. In it, she highlights how her renewed faith helped her survive.
To me, everything is grace. Medicine is God's grace. So to me, the two are intertwined.
And though LaPlante was originally mad at the thought of her father's manner of death being considered a mortal sin, she felt better after learning the Catholic Church gives more leeway on the issue now.
With my father not being able to think clearly because of depression and alcoholism, that he may not be, you know, completely responsible for his suicide.
Father James Bretzky, a moral theologian at Boston College, backs that up. And he's particularly sensitive to the issue. He had to lead a funeral mass for his only sibling, a sister, who took her own life in 2006 after a battle with severe clinical depression. He thought a lot about her soul.
I believe very, very strongly she fell into God's loving embrace, because I've prayed very hard what happened to my sister, and that is the image I have.
Up until the 1950s, the Catholic Church considered suicide an absolute violation of the fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill, and people who killed themselves were denied Catholic funerals.
We recognize now, and I think much more soundly so, that suicide is the result of a very, very serious psychological illness that very few people, if anyone at all, really freely takes his or her own life to try to rebel against God or something like that.
Bretzky argues most, if not all, of the biblical verses people cite as evidence that suicide is a mortal sin are not actually about suicide. Though the intentional taking of one's life is still considered to be against God's plan, Bretzky says, the Catholic Church now focuses on compassion and mercy.
My name is Sheikh Yasser Fahmi. I'm the senior imam at the Islamic Society of Boston Cultural Center.
The new imam at the largest mosque in New England says he preaches on issues of mental illness and suicide, and he prays with people who come to him with mental health issues.
Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-hazan. God, I seek refuge in you from worry and from sadness. And what the Prophet teaches us, if when you supplicate in this way, that God does free you from anxiety.
A member of the mosque died by suicide just a few weeks ago. Muslims who kill themselves are given a traditional cleansing, prayer, and burial. The imam encourages congregants to embrace, not castigate, others who are depressed and suicidal.
No one should feel that they are evil or sinful if they feel these impulses. That doesn't mean that God's wrath is upon you.
The mosque also has a free on-site counseling service. It was founded 2 years ago by Ben Herzig, a clinical psychologist who sees clients pro bono. He says the Muslim community has traditionally underutilized mental health services, but
there is an increasing willingness among the younger generation of American Muslims, particularly American-born Muslims, to reach out for services if they feel that the provider will be understanding of the role that religion plays in their life, whether the provider is Muslim or not.
Herzig says though some Muslims openly talk about losses from suicide, others still feel it has brought shame and dishonor to their family, and they'll never discuss it. Ilana Primack Sandler, who is Jewish, says there was some secrecy in her family when her father killed himself when she was 8.
There were some confusing messages about, as children, what we were supposed to be doing, like whether we were supposed to say Kaddish for our father, the memorial prayer for those who have died.
But Primack Sandler says her family got lots of support from their synagogue, where it was known her father took his own life. She's now a public health social worker and is on the board of Elijah's Journey. The nonprofit organization is working to raise awareness about suicide in the Jewish community and to create resource guides on how to talk about it. For example, when sitting Shiva after a suicide.
So I usually start with a few breaths.
Rabbi David Lerner leads Temple Emuna in Lexington, a conservative egalitarian congregation. The prayers he says with people who are suicidal focus on healing and renewal.
Ba'erev yalin bechi ulevoker rina, right? Tears may linger in the evening, but joy comes in the morning. The awareness that, yes, there are times where we are going to cry, and the awareness of how painful that is, but to also be aware that there can be hope.
In addition to referring people to mental health treatment, Lerner hopes the teachings of Judaism will help dissuade against suicide.
If someone asked me, I would say yes. The tradition says your life is sacred and valuable. You are of ultimate worth. How could you contemplate even doing something to something so valuable and so treasured as yourself? That hopefully allows also the beauty of their own life to still be there.
Rabbi Lerner still finds the question of what happens to someone following suicide challenging. He hopes the soul enters a dimension in which it can be healed and then moves on to the full afterlife. Imam Yasser Fahmi at the Islamic Society of Boston Cultural Center says Muslims relegate a person's destiny to Allah.
God is the one we have confidence in. He is the most merciful. We know that a person who commits suicide with the full intellectual capacity present, that that is a sinful act. How God will treat that reality, that is in God's knowledge, not ours.
More than 100 studies have measured the impact of faith on attitudes towards suicide, according to Dr. Harold Koenig.
When I have a patient who has a strong religious faith, the likelihood of them committing suicide is just a lot less.
Koenig is a professor of psychiatry at Duke University Medical Center who researches religion and health. He says it's traditional religious doctrines that are a driving force in people not taking their own lives.
I would have thought that, you know, because religion helps people to cope better, gives life more meaning and purpose, that that would be the reason why religious people don't commit suicide. But actually, research is showing that that doesn't have that much of an effect. It's actually some of the I'm going to hell if I commit suicide.
Patients have told him they would have killed themselves if not for the fear of not joining their deceased spouse or parents in heaven.
Anyone who's going through a great burden, a great trial in their life, I want you to join me now at the altar.
Morningstar Baptist Church also runs a free counseling service with church members who are therapists. And Bishop John Borders can relate to those who are struggling.
I've been depressed and burnt out many times. So I know what depression is like. There have been times in my life where I wanted to die, but I never felt like it was mine to take my own life. I felt alone. I felt no one understood what I was feeling or experiencing.
One day, he thought he was going to have a nervous breakdown until, he says, he saw the setting sun like a big orange in the sky.
And I heard a small voice inside of me that said, "The sun still shines." And if the sun still shines, there is a God. And if there's a God, you are loved. And if you are loved, you can make it through this day.
So even though he believes strongly that many people need more than faith to get through mental illness, ultimately, he says, it was moments of enlightenment stemming from faith that saved him. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Lynn Joliker.